and welcome to the Impact Interviews. My name's Laura, and today I'm beyond delighted to have an opportunity I never ever thought I would get, and that is the interview of a lifetime, the one and only Father Christmas or Santa Claus. I'm not quite sure, Father Christmas. I'm going to call you Father Christmas. Hi.
Could I start with a ho ho ho, or would that be a bit too predictable, Laura? No,
Oh.
I'm very happy to be called anything. All around the world, children have different names for me and have, I think, different ideas of what perhaps I look like, although there's mostly a certain similarity. So I'll answer to anything.
Oh, thank you. Ho, ho, ho. Yes, we should have started it with ho, ho, ho. Fantastic. So, Father Christmas, these are the Impact Interviews. So, if, before we hear about your amazing story, if we could just start off with what in your world do you think impact is, and why do you think anyone should care?
I think anyone who has ever seen a child wake up and see those presents that have arrived for them and that look of delight on the face, that's impact on a very little level. On a much bigger level, it's about doing good. It's being about a force for the positive influence in the world and trying to change things in a way that actually makes things better. And that sounds a bit grand because all I do is deliver presents. But I think that bigger picture for me is what impact should be about.
And so, in terms of who care, why should people care? Do you think everybody should care, or do you think there are some people who just shouldn't bother?
I think people should care, and I think humanity does care. And I think although we live in a world where sadly there is fighting and wars and sometimes hatred, when I actually meet people, when I talk to people, perhaps not always leaders, but when I talk to real people, they care. They actually do care. And that humanity that people have, I think, is fundamental and is a force for good. The trouble is sometimes we get hijacked and diverted into all sorts of different areas. But I think everybody should care. And I think you only have to ever look at a mum or a dad or a carer and what they feel about their child. They do care. They really do care on that very small, insular level. They care. And then it gets bigger with education and friends and all the rest of it. So, yeah, I think it really does matter.
Oh, yeah, I agree, which is why we're making this podcast series. So, Father Christmas, I mean, we're down to the lightning round, and obviously you travel faster than lightning, so maybe we should call it this the sleigh speed round. So the key questions are about you and the things that you do. What is it? Who cares? And why is it amazing? Not good, not great, but why is it amazing?
I think a lot of people feel there's a magic in what I do, and that's very kind. But there is no magic other than the fact that it's magical that they get gifts. And sometimes, as often as I can, it's the gifts that people actually ask for, children actually ask for. I get so many wonderful letters from children throughout the year, actually. And you try to meet those expectations, those aspirations. It's not always possible because sometimes children, like adults, want stuff that is way beyond what is real, affordable, actually accessible. But you do your best. You do your best. And you know what I find? When you're honest with people, when you try to be realistic with people, they're not greedy. They actually just want to be looked after. They want to be nurtured. And they want to feel that people around them care. So I think that's what I do. If people feel there's a magic to it, then great. I love that. But actually, all I'm trying to do is be, if you like, a good coach, a good leader, a good giver, and try and help people.
Oh, and so who cares?
That's a really good question. I mean, every year we aim to reach, I don't know, about 100 million children. I'm never able to keep count exactly. But the children care. And if we bring children up all around the world to care, not just about themselves, but to care about the world around them, then that is fantastic. And as I said earlier, parents, carers, for me, always care about their children. Okay, there is the odd, horrible exception, but that is so rare. Parents and carers really do care and want the best for their children. So I think everybody cares. And if you look at what I do, which is really delivering presents, it's very simple, isn't it? I don't want anything back. And I actually genuinely think in most cases, people like giving more than they like receiving. And for me, that means my job is fantastic because that's all I do. I just give.
Gosh, wow. Yeah, all your, yeah, and it's all concentrated in a certain period of time. So to the question about why is it amazing, I mean, it's amazing on so many levels, isn't it? Not just because the feeling of giving, but also like the utter feat of amazingness that you managed to achieve.
Well, the science, if you tried to actually analyze it, is extraordinary. But remember, we've been working on this and developing it for a long, long, long time. So we actually managed to get around the world and we actually managed to fulfill the dreams of an extraordinary number of people. We visit something like 100 million homes. It gets tricky in certain places because in some parts of the world, there are huge distances between where people live. And in other places, of course, people live in very dense areas. But we get to about 100 million homes. We deliver, I never really tell people exactly how many presents we deliver, but I don't think I'm giving anything away when I say it's over 500 million presents in that really short space of time. We get to hundreds of homes a second, but that's because we do what we do and we do it really well. And we fly faster than anyone can possibly imagine, faster than the fastest planes, faster than anybody's dreams. But we have to do that to get to everybody and deliver what people want and help to fulfill those dreams. So the science is extraordinary, but science is, and it's improving all the time. No one's quite caught up with Santa Claus yet, though, I'm pleased to say.
He's still in the lead, still in the lead. And so it's not just actually what you do on that one night of the year, it's all the other stuff that you've inspired. I'm really interested to hear your feelings on all the movies that you've inspired, all the kind of inspiration now people are getting from this this feat of travel, you know, the sort of sleigh design, that kind of thing. And then also your opinion as to whether you see other people trying to emulate your behavior and how that makes you feel.
Well, I don't keep up a great deal with what happens day to day in the movies and so forth. Somebody told me that there's a thing called the Elf on the Shelf, but I think that hasn't quite replaced me in terms of popularity. That's just because I'm very, very fortunate. And most of the films that I see actually are quite kind to me. They're quite kind to me. None of them are quite real, but they're quite kind to me, and I love that. But you know, Laura, I think there's one thing that is so important: storytelling. I think children love stories, and they love stories, it seems, about me because their parents and their carers tell stories about me, which is wonderful. And usually they're very kind, which I'm very, very grateful for. But children grow up with stories all around the world, regardless of their race and their religion, they grow up with stories. And somehow, as grown-ups move into positions where they have power, where they move into executive positions, all too often they seem to forget that storytelling is still the most powerful way to communicate. And I just think if grown-ups and executives and people in positions of power just thought a little bit more about the stories that they can tell to take people with them on journeys, I just think the world could be a better place. Many, many years ago, I had a very good friend called Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. You may have heard of him. He was a French writer. He flew planes as well, not quite as fast as mine, but he flew them. And he wrote a wonderful book for children called The Little Prince. And if
Yeah.
anybody listening to this hasn't read The Little Prince, I highly recommend it. It's absolutely fantastic. And I still get asked for it at Christmas time. But what Antoine also said, he talked about storytelling and the power of storytelling. And he described how if you want to take people with you on a voyage, you don't build a ship and then tell people endlessly about the nuts and the bolts and the rivets and the metal, because that doesn't interest many people. Perhaps the odd scientist, but it doesn't interest many people. What really interests people is what that ship can do and take people to see different shores and different countries and visit different places and excite people. And I think Antoine absolutely got that right. The power of storytelling and communication, I think, is phenomenal. But why do grown-ups lose the habit? When they get into positions of power and responsibility and executives, they almost feel they've got to tell people and order people. And I just think if they were a bit kinder, thought a bit more, and told stories, they could take people with them so much more effectively.
And so, do you think we're now in a world where grown-ups ought to listen to children more? Because the children are the experts on telling stories, because it means something to them and it moves them. Do you think now, grown-ups really need to listen to children?
I think grown-ups should always listen. In fact, I think it's one of the biggest problems that a lot of grown-ups have is that they don't listen. But you've only got to talk to a child. They ask the best questions. Sometimes it's from a position of naivety. Often it's because they're curious. And boy, oh boy, people should be curious. But they ask. And they ask often without embarrassment because they just want to know. But they ask the best questions. So I think absolutely, grown-ups should listen to children more and give them time. Give them time because too often grown-ups get impatient now, don't they? They feel they've got to talk all the time. They get impatient. They fill all the gaps with noise. If only grown-ups just listened a bit more, asked better questions, which is what children do, and let children ask questions, I think the world would be a better place.
And so I'm just sort of thinking about any hints and tips that we can give to people. It feels like there's a kind of hints and tips that we can give to grown-ups, but maybe we should also be encouraging children with a couple of hints and tips as well about how they can create their own impact because they are our future, right?
Well, somebody said to me a couple of days ago, how do you manage to get all those presents ready? And I
Yeah.
won't give away any secrets.
I know.
But do you know something that I often say to people when they do ask me questions like this? I say to them, imagine what it could be like if you did the best possible thing. Forget the rules and the regulations and the constraints and money, but just imagine what it would be like if you could do anything you want. And then just scale it back a little bit and think, well, we can't do that because we've only got this amount of money. So let's scale it back a bit. And then, well, that's not going to work because, okay, let's scale it back a bit. But if you let your dreams and your imagination take you as far as it possibly can and work backwards instead of starting with what you've got and then just trying to just fiddle at the edges, I just think sometimes that can create a completely different vision, a completely different dream, a completely different opportunity. And then my other tip, I think, would be curiosity, because children have curiosity.
Yeah.
I actually think leaders who are impressive have curiosity. They don't think they know everything. They know a lot, but they don't think they know everything. The best leaders don't think they know everything. And they're always curious and always want to ask. And that's what I do whenever I meet people. And I'm lucky to meet some leaders of countries and some big business people who want to talk to me about what we do. And they're curious. They ask questions. But then I want to ask questions of them. And I think we can learn so much if we just have that curiosity and listen instead of thinking we're right all the time.
And so where should children start with that?
I think children do it naturally until we as grown-ups tend to squeeze it out of them. If you ever sit down with a child who is relaxed, confident, happy, they want to know things, they want to try things, they want to experiment, and they pretty soon find what they like and what they don't like, and they find friends and relationships. And I think if we let children just be a little bit more and encourage them to be a little bit more, instead of trying to make them do what we want them to do all the time. I always remember somebody telling me about a little girl whose parents were incredibly supportive and incredibly proud of her. And they wanted her to do everything. So on a Saturday morning, I remember being told that the parents took her to swimming at 6 o'clock, and then it was ballet at 9 o'clock, and then she had netball at 10 o'clock, and then running at 11 o'clock, and something else at 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And she was so tired and exhausted because she was doing what her parents wanted to do. And it was only when her grandma said to her, "What do you want to do?" that she said, "I just want to play with my friends." And in the moment when they were so busy telling her what they want to do to give her experiences, which on one level is fantastic, they'd kind of forgotten that she was still a little girl. And I just think sometimes we need to forget that as grown-ups, we don't really know best all the time. Perhaps if we just ask a bit more, we allow children to be a bit more, just to play a bit more, just like we do at Christmas when they open those presents and we let them play. And I think perhaps grown-ups just need to relax a little bit more and not be quite so demanding or wanting their expectations to be fulfilled all the time. That would be one little tip that I think, because children can do it if we give them the scope and the space and the freedom and the safety to do it. They're curious, they're adventurous, and they're playful.
So probably then, if I can narrow it down to two top tips, it's create the space to play, arguably when you're whether you're adult or child, and then secondly, be amazing at telling stories, because actually stories are the fuel for positive change.
Yeah, I think those are two really important areas. And I think just be willing to try things as well. I often hear people say, "I can't do that because, I can't do that because." But I just think if you try things, then perhaps they will work. When I first started, we did a very few number of presents to a very few number of children. And gradually, more and more children wanted what we were giving them. And they seemed to like what we were doing. So we expanded and we made sure that the science with which we work could get us to different places in time to deliver those dreams, those ideas, those gifts for children. If we'd have said, "No, you can't do that. You can't do that," because our old-fashioned sledge could only get to two villages. But we thought and we tried and we did things differently. And now we can get all over the world. So I just think if people, grown-ups, can use their imagination a bit more and dream a bit more, just like children do, maybe, just maybe, the world can be a better place.
And that's such a nice place to end. And yeah, it's just such a beautiful place to end. So, Father Christmas, I'm just eternally grateful for your time. Thank you so much. And on behalf of everybody, we're just so grateful to you and your team, I'm guessing, and all the magic that you create. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Laura, you're welcome. I'll finish with a ho, 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 and to everybody, a very Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. And hope to see you one day. Thank you. See you then.
Bye
Bye.
bye.
Thanks for listening to the Impact Interviews. If you enjoyed this episode, then please check out our back catalogue. And if you've any questions for either us or our guests, then please be sure to get in touch. We'll be back next week with something new. So see you soon.